What's going on?
Blog Talk Radio.
Striper Day. Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
My name is... Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. We are officially talking sports with Bulk Man. Man, it's been an interesting couple of weeks here. I got to say, for myself, I've been trying to avoid spending a lot of money, but it's been good, man. You know, just having fun, celebrating anniversaries, birthdays, the month of August. All y'all Leos, man, you know, it's all good, man. You know, y'all pretty y'all in my world, man, but it's all good. There's definitely no complaints. It's been fun. So, this is what we do. Let's check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling today, sir?
Oh, good, man. I'm a little tired, you know. Worked a regular job, and then just went and directed the show at British Tripers in Los to Nashville. I'm on the way to Nashville, Milwaukee, Triple A team, so damn them all the time. But, you know, running around, but glad to, you know, we talk a little sports to John. I'm in the car, so I'm on my way.
Well, hey, man, please be safe as always, my guy. You know, want to make sure that you arrive to your destination safely and all that good jazz. Rob, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this party started. What's going on?
Rob looks like he's sleeping, JQ. He looks like he was asleep right there, man. So I got to keep an eye on him, man. I hope he's doing all right, man. So it's all good, man.
I wasn't pulling on, Andre. I got napping before the show.
And then we've all, come on, man. We've all fell asleep a couple times.
No, I've never missed a show by being asleep. Never.
Hey, I think Andre's the only one to fall asleep
in the middle of the show.
on camera.
Yes.
I'm not gonna take that one by myself, man. So I'll get
it. Yeah, you sure?
And I'm just gonna say this for the we all have some tired moments, man. But you know, again, I'm gonna miss the show.
Sure, you better be glad it wasn't on Facebook Live. You were good.
It may have been delayed for like a minute or two, but the show still. Was still on. That's all that matters. Yeah, do it. Tried to entice Gary with the Cowboys talk. We ain't gonna talk any Cowboys. We're gonna talk to the Cowboys, but that's what we did.
Why?
So let's throw out the numbers really quick.
Yeah. Well, the Cowboys surprised didn't make it on the show tonight. Maybe
good.
That's why he called out. Huh?
Oh,
good.
Man.
Talking about that for no reason.
Oh, my goodness. Let's throw some numbers out for those that want to call in the show. Same numbers always, the 424-243-9519, 424-243-9519. Maybe I'll text Nod. We'll later see what he's going on, see what he's doing. And follow us on Twitter or X. I keep saying Twitter, but X now, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports.
That's so weird.
And then we're on Facebook. You go to Facebook.com, and we're going to get our show up, too, man. We're going to play around with it. So I'm still not giving up on that, the Facebook Live and Restreams and StreamYard. There's a couple different technologies. We're going to try to get that going for sure. And the Facebook page is always Talking Sports with a 12th Man. If you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. So without further ado, let's get this party started here. And I guess, Rob, we can kick it off with Jimmy Graham. And he's expected to return soon from that medical episode. So you can kick it off, Rob.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird story on Friday night. Well, obviously the world didn't hear about it until on Saturday. And when I first saw that TMZ broke the story that he was arrested, it was weird because I kept going to other media sources and nobody else was reporting it. And then the next thing you know, the Saints immediately put out a statement saying it was a medical situation and he had a seizure. And I was like, wow. I said, they didn't put out a statement when Alvin Kamara got in the fight in Las Vegas. Like, <"Ooh." laughs> So I was like, okay, well, this must be, some kind of misunderstanding what happened with the situation and with Jimmy Graham in California. But in a nutshell, he's back in practice today. Supposedly had a great practice. According to Dennis Allen anyway, he had a great practice, back in practice. He's doing well. So supposedly he had a seizure. But my thing is, man, you have a seizure. Should he even be playing football? I mean, yeah. So, I mean, that's a weird situation. I mean, obviously, man, a seizure is nothing to play around with, man. You don't need to be getting hit in the head or anything like that. So, I mean, that would be my question. But he returned to practice today. The city had a great practice. And so we'll see where he goes from here. Right now he's trending as a third-string linebacker. A third-string tight end for the Saints. So, we'll see if he actually makes the cut some Tuesday next week.
Man, you know that man was out there on that booger sugar. That's what it was. He was out there high and got caught up in it, but he wasn't driving. He didn't have no booger sugar on him. It was just in his system. And so we're going to hold tight, make sure you ain't too good, then we'll release you. Come on, man. He out there. Now he back to practice off just a quote-unquote seizure. That just don't sound right. I was with you. I was like, there's conflicting reports and this, that, and the other. But we found him walk around, just go ahead, messed up, and he's walking around. We had a seizure. Like, what kind of seizure when you walk around, talking to you, just don't fall out and start shaking? Like, I don't know about the seizures. You can walk around and be okay all. So I'm glad that Jimmy Graham is going to be okay, but at the point, I don't think it was a seizure like that. I mean, he had a jerk-related episode, and now he's back in practice.
Yeah. It's hard to say, yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey, the whole thing is weird, but now everybody seems to be calling it a medical episode. That's what everybody's going with today.
Yeah, because he was medically fucked up. Now he ain't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Send all your responses to JQ at 12 minutes for
man, come on, man. That dude was on some drugs that he was doing, and he was in where? California? Come on. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know what it is, but he didn't hit nobody. He didn't have nothing on him, so they couldn't detain him for that. He was just walking around messed up. And it was like, that's Jimmy Graham. We got to get him off the street. Like, it is what it is. I'm glad he's okay. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. All right. Like you said, we'll let that slide, man. I know Rob's pretty protective about his players, man. So we'll see how that plays out.
You don't care about Jimmy. That ain't listen.
No,
that's
I'm not being protective. I mean, I'm just going off of what's being reported. I mean, it's not that anybody's being protective. I mean, shucks. I mean, I can't protect Alvin Kamara. He didn't even beat the ass out of somebody.
That's your boy, man.
Yeah, but
Yeah,
no, you can't. That was a videotape. Ain't nothing you can say about that. But, well, yeah, damn. But prime Jimmy Graham? Oh, Rob would have been hot. Prime Jimmy Graham would have had run over here hot. You don't know that, JQ. That's way past his prime Jimmy Graham. He just might be at whatever.
I'm clearly just joking, right? It's just it's what I do, man. So it's all
good. Yeah. I'm just going with you.
But I'll get, like I said, it's just funny because, like I said, we talk about players and, certain things, and, they should be held accountable in certain situations, too. And you're just, like I said, just certain things just don't make sense, man. The math ain't mathing, as they say, man. So you got to figure that out for sure, man. So,
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was just surprised at how fast the Saints released a statement almost instantly after the TMC story came out. And I'm like, Seth, man, we never seem to send a statement out at the Alvin Kamara situation.
because they knew there was a videotape, and it was like, ooh, we can't say that because that videotape is still coming out.
Yeah.
It wasn't no table tape, it was like, oh, we can protect him a little bit. Hey, listen.
Yeah, no, TMZ had video footage of Jimmy Graham running in the street.
Yeah, okay, well, different. He wasn't kicking nobody's ass.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, man. That's not a good.
It just,
not a good look, man.
They got footage, video footage of him running from the police.
Yeah, he was on that stuff. He was on that stuff. You know he was on that stuff. It's okay to say it. Go ahead. We don't have to keep talking about Jimmy Graham, but y'all know he was on that stuff.
Wow. We can't deny it. It's interesting. So the next topic is discussing what should we expect out of Anthony Richardson. If Jonathan Taylor is traded, and I'm going to say if this goes down, this is a huge, huge loss for the Colts. It's going to set Anthony Richardson back. I mean, you know, you already saw some challenges during the preseason. There's been some miscommunication for the wide receivers. And it's going to be tough because, you know, obviously Shane Steichen, I'm not saying he's the second coming of Bill Belichick, so we don't know enough about his coaching acumen just yet. So, you know, you already put a young coach in a tough situation. And, you know, right now, you know, a healthy Jonathan Taylor was, you know, definitely one of the best backs in the league. So if you're looking at what the Colts have as far as their depth chart, they have, who do they got? They got Zach Moss, but he broke his arm. I don't think he's coming back until early season. They got Deion Jackson. They got a fifth-round pick, Evan Hill, and they got the veteran Kenyon Drake. That's who they have for their running back room. So, you know, you already have some challenges from that perspective, and you lose a great, great player. And like I said, I think this is kind of a situation where, you know, Jim Irsay, the owner, you know, you got to – this dude, you know, you kind of have to get what you said because you put it out there that you don't think the running back position should be that valued and you're talking shit about Jonathan Taylor. And then what happens? Now this guy requests a trade, and the crazy thing is they're asking for a first-round pick, which they're not going to get. But it's just this dude, you talk about booger sugar, you know, JQ, this Jim Irsay is all of that, man, because this is a terrible, terrible situation for the Colts. And Anthony Richardson, you know, he's going to suffer, man. So you just feel bad for the quarterback. I mean, not from that perspective, but just it's going to be tough for him to be successful whenever you don't have a running game, you know. So I feel for the Colts right now.
Yeah, I mean, you think you know, if Jonathan Taylor's healthy, man, how much, you know, the RPO, you know, how effective that will be with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor in the backfield if he's healthy. I mean, both quarterbacks, you know, I mean, both will be extremely effective in the run game, right? You're losing a huge option in the RPO game without a Jonathan Taylor. I mean, Kenyon Drake will be about as effective as Andre Peterson in the backfield, right?
Come on.
And at this point, Zach Moss, he's got a little juice, but he's hurt, as you mentioned earlier, right? So I mean, obviously, you know, you may have to revisit. You're probably gonna have to revisit, you know, running back to the free agency market, right? If you're gonna trade Jonathan Taylor in. But are they going to be Jonathan Taylor? Absolutely not. Now, here's the thing about Jonathan Taylor asking for a trade. The Colts are asking for it to be done by next Tuesday, right? So you're talking about, you know, a little less than a week right now before everybody's got to get the roster down to 53 players. The second key thing in this situation is he's got to pass a physical in order to get traded. How healthy is it? And, I mean, he's on the pup list right now. I mean, he's got to pass a physical in order to get traded. Will he be healthy enough to pass a physical by next Tuesday to get traded? So, I mean, there's a lot of things that still need to happen for this to take place. And there's a very good chance that he remains with the Indianapolis Colts going into the season. I mean, obviously, he could possibly start the season with the Colts and still get traded, you know, but
yeah,
I think he's got to pass a physical, number one, before he can even get traded. So, I mean, you know, I think for Anthony Richardson's sake, you would like to see him remain with the team, you know, give him that option. I think that he would definitely help with Richardson's growth process. But I think for JQ's sake, he's hoping that he gets traded to the NFC.
Yes, Lord. Well, and that's the other piece of it is the pass potential. And then part of it is like, well, call your bluff. Who do you think is going to come out here and trade a first-round pick for you and give you this contract that you want us to give you right now? So, and also to your point, is he healthy enough to even pass it? And if he is, if somebody's going to do that and pony up to – but if you trade for him, you have to give him a new deal, right? Like, you can't trade a first-round pick and then say, I'm going to keep trying to franchise him. You have to give him a new deal to make it be kosher. So I think a part of this is Indianapolis calling his bluff and saying, hey, bro, you're only making $4.3 million a year. One, is anybody going to do this for you? Two, are you willing to sit out? Because you can't, you know, you can't sit out and forego these game checks. Like, not that $4.3 million is not a lot of money, but for the kind of money that he's going to miss in the game check and fines, 4.3 is not a lot to withstand that kind of, you know, punishment from the coach front office. So it's interesting to see how that's going to play out. I'm with you. I've talked about it before about whether or not he was going to be, you know, on the roster. We'll find out. Maybe somebody does get, you know, desperate. But if he plays the one position that they no longer value strong, and that's the running back market position, and he's in a tough spot.
Yeah, I agree with you, Andre, too, that it's interesting that nobody wants to pay running backs to get there asking for a first-round pick.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
I mean, nobody values the running back position, but yet you want to ask for a first-round pick. And Jonathan Taylor was drafted in the second round at that, too. I mean, I know he had – last year he was injured quite a bit. Year before that, he had a record-breaking season. But, yeah, you're asking for a first-round pick. In the event he gets traded, two teams to look out for, two teams down in Florida, Tampa Bay and Miami, I think, will be two teams that possibly get interested. But I just can't see anybody forking up a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, and just to set the stage, too, Christian McCaffrey was traded. And, he, you know, we know how he's been dynamic. He got, like, a second, third, a fourth and a fifth for him, so he had multiple picks that was traded for him. That was obviously something that the 49ers had to give up, but this kind of shows you can't just – you got to have some multiple picks for him too. Naj, what's up, man? Naj is on too. Looks like he joined, and we're talking about what's happening with Jonathan Taylor, Naj, and we kind of heard that as well, my guy.
Yeah, man, what's going on, yo?
What's up, bro?
Good to hear you.
Ain't nothing, man. Cooling. You already know what I'm watching, so that is hilarious. I just ended right there. But look, if NFL management had to compete with like NBA management or MLB management, a lot of these guys would have to have their franchises stripped from. Like, these guys are just not good at this, man. Like, it's a copycat league, and we say that, you know, as like a cliche, but there's a heavy meaning behind that. It's a copycat league. It's a copycat league to the point of where they don't think outside the box in situations where it needs to be done. So everything y'all said about running backs, dead on. That's exactly how all of these guys are thinking when they should be thinking, wait a minute, there are also exceptions. So if I can get Jonathan Taylor as a young dude and get this prime out the way, yeah, let me go and give up that first for Jonathan Taylor. Why was CMC second, third, and fourth? Because CMC's injury history and he's a little older than Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
But you plug in Jonathan Taylor for a few years and ride it out and then let him dip, this is the time to go get him. But they're all thinking in the mind state of, well, you know, you can't pay running backs. No. You can't pay the majority of running backs. You can pay that running back right now and run out this prime. You know what I'm saying? It's like Derrick Henry a couple of years ago when he re-upped on that deal. Tennessee's going to walk away from that eventually, but they got all those prime years out of them. And right now, this is the move to do, man. Somebody should go get Jonathan Taylor. And Ursa, man, I don't know what Ursa is doing. You need Taylor to take some pressure off the young boy. You know what I mean? Put him out there.
He needs to retire
from Ursa.
He's ruining that franchise.
400 carries a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say about Jonathan Taylor is he is a Wisconsin running back. So – I don't know. There's a lot of announcement boys coming out of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I don't know, man. They run the boys in Wisconsin. I don't know if I'm going to give them that money. 40
carries a game in Wisconsin. 40 carries a game
in Wisconsin. Yeah. It's interesting, Rob, you said the couple of teams that were mentioned as far as trade talks. You talked about, you know, Miami. You talked about the Bucks. You know, you also have an outside shot for the Bears. I saw the Bills on there. And I also saw, you know, the Denver Saints, you know, so, you know, they were on there as well. You know, I'm giving you a hard time, man, you know, obviously. But it looks like those are some teams that may be interested, if you will, as far as making that. But we're going to talk about some trade options, too, because it's interesting because there's a lot of surprisingly running backs that could be on the block, you know, if you're kind of doing switching and swapping because, you know, there's a chance that Josh Jacobs could be traded. We'll talk about that a little bit later. You know, Michael Carter, he's a running back from the Jets. I know, you're kind of looking at options, too. There's still some things out there, right? So, again, we could talk about that. Antonio Gibson,
I can see Carter,
you know, from the Commanders. Because, you know, it looks like, you know, Eric Bieniemy, he doesn't want to run this type of heavy run game. He wants to kind of instill that Kansas City type of, you know, kind of passing game. So, again, there could be some interesting options that's going to happen whenever we get to that final cutdown.
As
so,
Mahomes,
you know, we'll talk about
that
a little bit later. Yeah, yeah. Again, same thing. But, you know, you're still going to try to implement some things and try to, well, I think I could run this offense. And, you know, you already know how intense Eric Bieniemy is. So, you know, again, we'll see how that plays out. But, Naj, you were right. Everyone was correct. That so I think we all agree that this is it's going to be a tough blow for Anthony Richardson. And, you know, you want him to be in a situation where you want him to succeed. Because I'm a fan of him. I think he's a great dude. And I give Naj credit because Naj is the one that kept saying that he was going to get, you know, a little higher than we thought. And he did. And now it looks like from this situation he's not going to get the best help to be successful, at least coming out the gate. So you hope some things can change for sure. Speaking of some interesting quarterback news, you've got the go ahead, Rob.
You can make a case. I know it's real early and it's hard to put a lot of stock in the preseason game, but you can make a case that Anthony Richardson has actually looked better than both CJ and Bryce Young so far in the preseason. I mean, like I said, it's very early. It's only two preseason games. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but
right, Brian Lee balled out in preseason. Never forget.
Yeah, you're right. I saw it in person. I saw him. I went to a game with the Chargers against the Falcons in the preseason, right here in Atlanta, and I saw Ryan Lee balled out in the preseason. So that is true.
I would also argue that the Colts have a better team right now than the Texans and the Panthers do. So I would hope that he plays a little bit better because I feel like they have a better team in Indianapolis right now. But you're not wrong, but I think he went to a slightly better team.
Yeah. I think the thing that's surprising to me so far is Carolina's offensive line. I mean, they were awesome in the preseason. And they're supposed to have one of the better lines in the league. I mean, I know it's preseason. It's hard to put a lot of stock into it. But their offensive line has looked atrocious so far.
Yeah, and if you're one on the offensive line, if y'all getting whipped. Like, that ain't a scheme thing or nothing like that. Like, that's just you up front getting whipped, as the old Southerners I grew up would say. Like, you're right.
Oh, wow. So speaking of some interesting getting whipped and all that fun stuff, you got Baker Mayfield getting named as the starting quarterback from the Bucs. You know, again, I don't think this was a surprise, but it's like, damn, Kyle Trask, he's that bad, my dude, man. I don't know. It's interesting. It's Baker time, as they say, Rob. So you have some familiarity with Tampa Bay, Rob. So what are they saying down there in Tampa Bay about this move?
Oh, Lord.
Well, in a nutshell, yes. But I think what Tampa Bay fans are frustrated is, hey, I mean, you spent the second-round pick on Kyle Trask, and we all know when you draft somebody in the second round, regardless of position, you expect that player to be a starter at least within 3 years, right? So that's the frustration. I mean, Kyle Trask was drafted in the same year with Joe Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert. And obviously those three guys are first-round picks. Kyle Trask was a second-round pick in that draft. I mean, you may not expect that guy to be a starter in year one, but by now, with that investment of a second-round pick, you know, you would expect that guy to have taken the reins by now. So this is the third year, that he won't be a starter. No, fourth year, I'm sorry. Fourth year he won't be a starter because those guys have been starters for 3 years now. So it'll be the fourth year that he won't be a starting quarterback, and you invested a second-round pick. This is the last year of his contract, too. So are you going to get anything out of that second round investment if he doesn't re-sign with the Bucks after the season? So that, I think that's the disappointment. Even more so than Baker starting, I think the biggest disappointment is in Kyle Trask when you invested a second round pick in that guy.
Okay. So I'm coming right down your alley now. Two things. One, when we had that draft, we watched all the Celtics of conference football living down here. Who said, man, Kyle Trask is going to go to the NFL and be a shit? Nobody said that. Nobody said that when he was playing up on the – nobody said that, for one. So let's not be – I hear what you're saying. That's just a bad decision by Tampa to make that move in the second round. Two, yes, you have some history of the third, the fourth, or fifth quarterback being picked in the draft being better than the dudes that go in front of him. But expecting that to be the case or expecting them to be on par with those dudes that went in front of them, there's a reason those dudes went in front of them. You know why? Because they're better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you're expecting Kyle Trask to perform like them. It's like, you know, you have these drafts littered with dudes that shouldn't have been drafted in the second round, maybe the fourth,
no.
You know, maybe the third. And they go up
no,
with the
think...
quarterbacks. I just didn't think Kyle Trask was ever going to be that dude.
No, I don't think they expected him to be those guys. No, that's if I said that, that was a total misunderstanding. No, I don't think they expected him to be that guy. They expected him to be a starting quarterback by now in the league, not necessarily a Pro Bowl quarterback like those guys are. So, no, I don't think that's the expectation. But when you draft a guy in the second round, you're expecting the guy to be a starter in the league or at least a serviceable quarterback at that point, maybe not a Pro Bowl quarterback. But, hey, you look at Kyle Trask senior year at Florida, he was putting up big-time numbers. I mean, that Florida offense was putting up big-time numbers. Like I said, do they expect him to be that at that level? Absolutely not. But when you draft a guy in the second round, the fans are expecting him to be a starting quarterback at least by his third year in the league.
Hey, somebody in that war room was pounding the table for Kyle Trask, and they regret it, and that's been hanging over them like a scarlet letter for the rest of their career in a developmental room in there. But don't close the book on him so quick, though. I think we see him by week six. Like, ultimately, this was your boy Ty Bowles. Like, hey, man, it's hard out here, bro. You know how hard it is to keep one of these NFL jobs? I'm going to start Baker. And if Baker get things right, I'm going to, you know what I mean, get myself some job security. Maybe we can be a surprise team. And if Baker starts to falter and does the Baker running outside the pocket, throwing off, you know, off message and all that nonsense, then, you know, he rolls Kyle Trask in there and he calls it a rebuilding year. So I think this is just Ty Bowles trying to massage the situation. Because look at it. You got weapons. You got Evans and Godwin. If you're just halfway
confident, and they got a good defense,
you could put up some numbers. And also, I'm kind of speaking my book because I've invested a lot in the Baker Mayfield, Evans, Godwin stack in some fantasy football leagues. And if they pop, I don't want to play. So I'm kind of speaking my book to a certain degree, so I can't be trusted on this. But I just feel like
nah.
I mean, you know, got to be honest. Yeah. But I just feel like, hey, look, if we get good Baker, maybe he makes it to week 10. But, you know, we all know what we know about that dude by now. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
The
weapons are there.
Have
like,
you seen,
if you can't move with that offense, like, come on, man.
Have you seen the video of them two dudes in training camp trying to throw the ball down the left sideline and just throwing it completely way off target? Both of them. Do yourself go on Twitter and look it up. It is so bad. It's both of them in the same practice looking like hot trash. I said, oh, no, Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We're going to get some cryptic tweets from Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You know how wide receivers do, boy.
Yes, sir.
The march to heaven is long, but the struggle is real. Like, it's gonna
only God can judge me.
Tom Brady wasn't very good last year. Let's just be honest. Tom Brady was not a good NFL quarterback last year. 2 years ago was probably his last hurrah, right? Tom Brady was not very good. This is Tampa Bay.
He wasn't very good in the championship season either, but you ain't heard that from me.
Yeah. Well, he was better than last year. Let's put it that way. Hey, Kyle Trask is not the first quarterback bust in the NFL. We've had several. And so, I mean, at this point, going through his fourth year, he's not a starting quarterback. I mean, you almost have to call him a bust, right? Like I said, by the fourth year, if you're a fan, and Tampa Bay fans expect him to be a starter by now at this point in his career. So, I mean, you can almost you almost have to call him a bust at this point in his career. But not the first, and it won't be the last.
But y'all got to admit, it's a good parachute for head coaches. When things go bad, then by, you know, you can just say, oh, well, you know, we're bringing in the young guy. He's, you know, trying to see what he got. You know, it's a hustle, but, you know, head coaches do that.
Yeah. It's a little tough, man, because, you know, again, I'm going for the brother, right? I'm going for Todd Bowles. I'm wishing for your success, man. But, you know, if they may have a short leash on him, because even if you go through and you're like, hey, I'm going to try to, like, you know, let Baker be the guy, and he kind of stumbles, and then you got to go to Kyle Trask, and then you can say, hey, but guess what? We got Caleb Williams right there. You know, I don't know if Todd Bowles is going to survive that. You know, so if that's the challenge,
yeah,
that they won't even let him see the light of day. Like, hey, you ain't thinking no more, guy. You know, so it's kind of tough, man. I'm kind of like, so I kind of want the brother to be successful. I'm like, dang, man, so you may not even see that. So that's what's kind of tough.
Well, I'm
going
to be honest with you, Dre. I wanted this brother to be successful with the Jets. I don't want him to be successful with the Bucks.
I'm with you on that. I hear that.
JQ probably would root for Mike Tomlin if he was with the Saints, but he's not going to root for him with the Steelers.
100%. Yeah. I would love Mike Tomlin if he wasn't in the Pittsburgh. I would love the shit out of Mike Tomlin. But he was in the Pittsburgh, I was like, oh, yeah, no, bro. I hope you fail every week. Hard.
That bad luck charm, that rabbit's foot or whatever he got in his pocket, he can take that out of his pocket, man, because you go back to that Jets regime where the quarterback who we all see is actually a good quarterback when supported, when he had him, the guy owed a gambling debt to a linebacker on special teams who punched him in the face and ruined y'all season. Like, that's my boys might not be the luckiest man out there.
That's true, Rob. I'll let you go with that. I love it, gentlemen. Let's talk about some players
that
be traded. No, I'm with you. I hear you, man. I don't want to do stuff with the Bucks, man. I'm like, bro, man. I'm the bro, man. He ain't gonna get there, man. So it's all good. We talked about, you know, and you guys can have a couple different, you know, players, because I was looking at a couple of lists of different, you know, guys, and this can be a lot of different names. You know, obviously, I think the one name that we talked about earlier was definitely Jonathan Taylor. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition, even though, like you said, Rob, he has to pass the physical. Again, I actually put, you know, I talked about Josh Jacobs on here too. Not sure what's going to happen with that, if he's going to report. That's something that's going to – we'll see what happens with that with the Raiders. Interesting one that just
– I don't think the Raiders are going to trade him.
Probably – they ain't going to trade him, but, you know, we'll see. Like I said, Trey Lance. We'll see about this one, right? Trey Lance, right? So, again, he got the
ability to be
third string.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a guy that, you know, hey, you know.
Yeah.
He's going to definitely be a situation where he's going to be traded.
Yeah.
I put down a couple of them. Talked about Michael Carter. Good, Rob.
Yeah, you Trey Lance. I mean, you look at his situation. I mean, we talked about, I mean, this is guy number three overall. I mean, he's still too young to quite call a bust. You know, he missed the season with the injury. But here's the thing. He's 23 years old, and Brock Purdy's 23 years old. So if Brock Purdy's already starting, and they're both the same age, who's your future, right? So if you're 49ers, you almost have to just, hey, we made a mistake. We got to make a trade.
Yep.
Let's see what we can get for him in return. And so, no, totally agree with you on the Trey Lance situation. Now, if Brock Purdy was 27 or 28 and Trey Lance was 23, well, okay, well, like, maybe you do keep him around, right? But these guys are the same age, so who's your future?
Yeah.
No.
We agree on that.
You can't keep him around, because if he can't beat out Sam Darnold for the number two spot, and that tells you everything you need to know. We have seen Sam Darnold look like trash. So you mean to tell me I could trade a three number one pick to come get you, and you can't beat Sam Darnold up in the number two spot? Come on, man. You got to go. I can't put you on film no more. I can't let you get hurt in practice.
Yeah.
I got somebody that loves you in that draft to keep being in love with you, and at least just let me get one first-round pick back. When they said he was third behind Sam Darnold, he didn't get practice. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, no.
He lost the second. He lost the battle for QB2. If you're the 49ers, the great thing about it is you found a quarterback in the seventh round, right? You missed on the first round guy, traded three first
that's
round
crazy.
Picks, but your future is the seventh round quarterback.
Yeah,
see, and this is where I get into, like, okay, Kyle Shanahan has too much power in that building. For one, the sample size on Brock Purdy excellence is so small that I don't think we can just act like he's that guy. Like, we don't know that yet. Now, again, Kyle likes him because, again, Kyle likes people who does what he said. 1, 2, 3, get it out. 1, 2, 3, get it out. These are the reads I want. This is where I want the ball to go. If you're going to be that quarterback, Kyle's going to like you. But when you got so much power in the building that you trade 3 first-round picks for a guy and then you demote him to third string and now we got to try to sell people on the trade. Like, bro, make him second string and act like the progress is going well. Put up a couple Twitter videos and then you trade them in the middle of the night like you OKC. Like, don't demote him to third string and then try to trade. Like, what the hell is Kyle? Kyle's a great football mind, but, man, sometimes you gotta take the whistle out the coach's mouth. Like, bro, what you doing?
Yeah. The funny thing, I can't even think of a team that would be interested in Trey Lance right now.
Shut up, bro.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, those are a couple names. I mean, I talked about Antonio Gibson. I talked about, him earlier, Michael Carter. You know, there's a couple that, you know, if you want to put Chase Young in there, there's a couple of interesting situations, too, that depends on what's going to happen, too, as far as what's happening, you know. But
I think the Commanders are all in on Chase Young.
Good. They're in, but then, again, you know, you got to think about, I was looking at a couple of, when I was looking at the possible people, they're like, hey, they may talk about his contract, right? So, again, it's not like this is a situation where we have to get rid of him, but this is, you know, they had to re-sign Sweat. They got to re-sign a couple guys, and they said, hey, this guy may be, I don't know if he's going to pick up his fifth-year option yet. We may get something for him before we do that. So there's a couple of situations that they can do. So I'm not saying this is absolute, but I was looking at a couple of different trade names, if you will, out there, too. So, you know, there's a couple, you know, that it was crazy. I was like, interesting. Like, somebody put Ryan Tannehill. I'm like, man, he ain't going nowhere. But it was interesting as far as what's going to happen if they want to get rid of that, you know. So, but, again, you have some unique – you know, hey, this could go from this direction. Someone's talking about Anthony Schwartz from Cleveland. You know, there's a couple different, you know, names out there, too. So, you know, it's just what you said.
One guy I'll throw out there, and you guys, I know you guys are Falcon fans. And
it's Cordarrelle Patterson.
Patterson, 32 years old.
Yes.
You know, you got Bijan Robinson now. You got Tyler Algier. You know, is he on a trade block, or do you keep all three of those backs?
I think they keep.
I said
that
they could keep them.
Like a deal knocks them over. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Good. No. I was gonna say, you know, we're both here as Falcon fans. Yeah. It's like, you know, you don't want to trade a strength right now, right? Because, you know, you add to Bijan. You know, I know that Cordell he's getting older, maybe has a little soft injury tissues, but you know. You don't have to play as much, right? So you still have, you know, he can still kick return. He can still do a couple of the snaps in the game. So it just makes him a little pressure as the season goes on, too. So, you know, obviously, you know, that's what I think. But, again, I'm not calling the shots. What about you, Nash? Go ahead, man.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking the same way you are. The only thing I would add is this actually helps because it takes away some of the wear and tear on Bijan, where you give some of those carries to Algier and Patterson, you can kind of use them. But ultimately, we're still in a rebuild. So I would take the pick. If the pick is available for him, man, I'd move him up out of there. Because let's be honest, is Desmond Ritter really the answer? Because I feel like Heineke is going to take that team from him anyway. So, you know, let's go out here and be spoilers. That's all I'm hoping.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. I mean, obviously, you know, I know I sound like a broken record, and I know we all agree with this. You can't put a whole lot of stock in the preseason. I mean, I thought Desmond had a pretty something other than INT the other night, which, you know, you could arguably say if it was his fault or not. I thought he had a fairly solid outing the other night. But, yeah, to your point, we still don't know if he's the answer yet at the quarterback position, and I think that's why the Falcons went outside and signed a veteran, you know, just in case he doesn't work out. So we'll have to see how that works. You know, two other names that came to mind to me on the trade is Zach Ertz. You know, he's 32 years old. It don't look like Arizona's going anywhere this year. You know, the contending team going to make a move for him. And Philadelphia is loaded on the defensive line. Derek Barnett, defensive end, last year was on track. I mean, he's a more of a situational pass rusher. He's not like a starting, but he's a situational pass rusher. But he can possibly help a team too. So those are two other guys that came to mind to me that, you know, could possibly be on a trading block too, as well.
Just the last thing I'm going to say for a good next topic. Yeah, that's good. I had him down too. That we're going to talk, it's interesting, like you said, Naj, because, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen with Ritter. Right? They're giving him the keys, right? So, you know, Taylor Heinicke, he's there just in case, like you said, you know, Ritter struggles. And right now, you know, it just shows you how bad Marcus Mariota looks. That dude is trash, man. We talked about that.
Man, he might get cut, buddy.
Help Carolina. Yeah, and you're like, what the hell? Like, you talk about, like, just the career that's going in the garbage, man. That it's just right. Like, you're like, even when he threw that pass to Carolina, like, what the hell was going on with that? That was the beginning of the downfall. But, you know, again, if we have somebody that at least – can deliver the ball. I get it. We don't know. Yeah, but it's still
never forget Marcus Mariota, first NFL start, 4 touchdowns. Like, these small sample sizes do not tell you how the trajectory is going to go. The season is so small, it also, you know, limits your ability to kind of project forward, man. And I'm going to be honest, dude. That boy in Atlanta is the worst kind of guy to have as the backup quarterback. Not only is he a team guy, he's going to say all the right things in the interview, but as you're struggling, he's going to be the guy with the chart in his hand and the video showing it to everybody and staying and hurrahing everybody, headbutting offensive line. Like, dude, Heinicke is a problem, because I'm going to be honest with you. I think you can win 8 games with him if you start him off for the season. Like, Desmond Ritter, boy. Lemon booty all day. Tight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The one scary thing for the Falcons, though, they got a good offensive line. They got depth at running back position. And they got some young talent on the perimeter and Kyle Pitts and Drake London. So they have some potential, but it's all going to be up to what they get at the quarterback position. And
taking all the HGH from Barry Bonds' locker, too. So I'm sorry.
Shut up.
My bad.
Matt Collins. That's my guy, man. That dude is cracking me up in interviews, man. So walking around barefoot and everything, you know. But
the only thing I would say about that is that he's coming back home. And, you know, sometimes when people come back home, distractions and other things, I'm not saying that's going to happen to him, but you got to keep that a little bit in your frame of mind, because he might get home and be hanging out at Collins Hill, you know, throwing dollars in the air and being that, you know, the cheetah or the flame acting up. So, listen, I don't know that dude.
Probably. No other place is big, you.
Hey, listen, man, not nothing.
Going back to Marcus Mariota and the Eagles, man, like you guys have said, he's been awful in the preseason. And Tanner McKee, the rookie from Stanford, has been looking really good. I mean, he could easily move into that QB2 role behind Jalen Hurts from day one. I mean, he's been pretty impressive in preseason so far for the Eagles.
And shout out to Bomani Jones for one of the great NFL series that's ever been presented. The Eagles need a black backup quarterback. I'm sorry, but he's not you need a black backup quarterback. Let me tell you right now, when you get that sunshine-looking dude on the bench, if you ever start to falter, there will be a hive for him. Yeah. I saw a Doug Johnson hive in Atlanta. I saw what's my man's name in Carolina that they was yelling for? Like, bro. I'm just telling you, you better go call Josh Johnson. He's terrible and black and willing to hold that clipboard. You got to get your black backup back there. I'm just telling you.
Hey, did you see the Ravens, how all four of their quarterbacks are black? You saw that, right? Like, literally all four of them.
Genius.
Like, I was looking at them.
And the quarterback coaches. I think it's the first time in NFL.
I was like, woo! Right there. I'm like, okay, Ravens, I see y'all. They making sure that something goes wrong. Damn it. That is how you do your city, man. While we over here trying to say, he's mixed, man. He's good.
He's right.
We can't have another Michael Vick.
I mean, Jameis Winston not even a starter in New Orleans anymore. He's the backup quarterback, but the fans are already saying his rookie, Jake Hayner, should be QB2. Like, come on, man. Not yet. Get out of here with that foolishness, man.
That's some foolishness, man. Man, that's messed up. We got about 50 minutes here. What are you about to say, Dodge? You cracking up?
No, I was laughing, but I was going to say, remember, though, this is still progress. Because before you didn't even get the opportunity, now you actually get the opportunity, and you kind of got to bolster that by measuring the racism of your fan base. If your fan base is going to wild out and try to go to anybody just because they don't want that guy, then you got to, you know, prepare for that, man. So that's all I'm saying, man. But this is still progress, though.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing, and I know we've been talking forever about this topic, was, you know, as much as I would say I'd hate Philly, I'm like, damn, they kept getting black quarterbacks, right? You man, they threw out Reddick Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, you know, you're like, man, okay, all right, I see what y'all doing. You know, I was like, damn it. Then they got big back, they got freaking Jalen Hurts. So you're kind of like, they have been kind of making progress here, and we over here can't get a one or two quarterbacks here, man. We act like certain quarterbacks are the greatest things to slice bread, man. We only had one, Michael Vick, and he was a guy that we never again, never again. That's all we get is one opportunity. Anyway, and at the one time, you know, kind of going back to you, JQ, Jeff Blake was out there. I'm like, oh, Jeff Blake's coming. No, we didn't let that happen.
My God.
He was supposed to be traded from the Bengals. And we were like, oh, we can't get that, man.
Jeff Blake. That was my God.
Remember Jeff Blake? I was going to get his jersey.
Listen.
I was like, Jeff Blake is here. He's like, nope.
Yeah, I know people here in Atlanta that say they're not Falcon fans anymore because they ain't treat Matt Ryan right.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Shout out to Matt Ryan for getting the franchise those picks when he knew he was cooked and should have retired. Shout out to him, man. That was a great sacrifice for the team, man.
What were you about to say, JQ?
I'm just saying, he's the most accomplished Falcon. It is what it is. And at the end, he even gave back to the franchise on the way out, man. You know?
Yeah, well, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about Jeff Blake, JQ. I was excited to hear that, man, but I guess not, man. So it's all good, man.
Oh, no, him and Carl Pickens? Come on, dog. Yeah.
Man.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Man, I had that number 8 Blake,
sir.
100%.
Back then.
You took it the worst out of my mouth. All we had was Jeff Blake and Achilles Smith, sorry ass. So I get it.
Yeah. Damn, Achilles Smith. Them damn Oregon quarterbacks, man. We done lost the freaking Joey Harrison with the second coming of Joe Montana. That dude was trash. Then you had freaking Achilles Smith, you know.
Y'all heard that? Achilles Smith's son?
Then you had freaking Marcus Mariota. You're like,
is
come
he?
On, man. Okay.
Yeah, Achilles Smith's son committed to go to Oregon. I think he's a junior or senior in high school right now. But he's committed to go to Oregon.
Well, I hope Achilles Smith has paid restitution to all black quarterbacks because he costs people a lot of money. If you could send this to a college to do a study, I think we would find out Achilles Smith owes a lot of black quarterbacks money, man. He cost them.
Yes, sir. Hot trash. Hot trash.
Number 3
overall. I just gonna turn the TV off and 4:05 game start. This is terrible. I'm not even gonna do this myself today. This is just ridiculous.
Dude, life is so funny. We grew up as young kids. The New England Patriots were a terrible organization, not to be respected and looked at as trash. Cincinnati Bungles at the time, one of the worst organizations in the world. And then you get a few players, things go right, and next thing you know, the generation that sees them and grows up with them looks at them in a totally different light. Like, I can't imagine what young Bengals fans talking to their fathers and grandfathers, where they look at them like, boy, you don't know how good you got it, boy. You know what we get to? Like,
you don't know how good you got it. AFC Championship game, the Super Bowl. You don't go four inches down and be happy with some of this? Yeah, listen, don't get me started.
And that's funny. That's funny you mentioned that, too, because back, you know, we can probably have kind of one hand, you know, as far as the quarterbacks that, you know, whenever I was growing up, I'm dating myself, because I remember there's a guy named Major Harris. I was like, that's my dude, man. And I was like, Major Harris, he did nothing. He did nothing. Didn't get drafted. I was like, no. But I thought that was the dude, man. So
we thought Charlie Ward.
Yeah, Charlie Ward.
Yeah.
Charlie Ward should have been, that guy should have been drafted right there, man. So that's the crazy thing, but I digress. All right. Whew. So we've got about 10 minutes here. I don't know if you want to talk about something, because there's a lot of good topics here. And Rob, if you want to say something too, because the top five NFL tight ends, those are going to still be the same, I think, next week and little things like that, you know. So if there's anything you want to pick and choose here with something to talk about, I am kind of curious about what's happening with James Harden is kind of popping off over here, you know, getting fined by the, you know, you're like, well, shut the hell up, you know. But, you know, some interesting things as far as that.
He called Darren Moore a liar all the way in China.
Idiot. Yeah.
And he said, let me repeat
there
myself.
There is a, There's a quarterback here, JQ, Aaron Nolan. That's going to be, he's a Ohio State commit, so keep an eye on him. We're watching him. That dude's been performing here. And I know we talked about that as far as, you got Eric Houston committing to Ohio State too, which is a really great move for that Foster DL too.
Georgia
so again,
did.
I mean,
beat Georgia and Alabama for
him. You for high school.
Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's good. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about that. Caleb Williams, there's a lot to discuss here as well. So I'll kind of go around the horn. We can wrap this up too. I know everyone's, one of those types too. So you can start, JQ, with whatever you want to holler at. Go from there.
Yeah. Listen, I probably shouldn't go to it. The pure pettiness in me wants to see Reggie Bush take the goddamn NCAA to the cleaners. They took that man's house to focus. None of y'all decided to give him that NIL money. He got to look like, man, if you don't give me my shit back and some, we can raise the box. So I can't wait to see Reggie Bush versus the NCAA. I am here for that, and my pettiness wants him to clean them out. And the other thing is, execute them, They had to have that. I think he saved Larry Johnson's job. Nobody wants to fire Larry Johnson. You see what he did with the Bolster boys. You see what he did with Chase Young. Like, he was a steal to get back from Penn State. And he's been swinging and missing on all the five-star defensive linemen, especially defensive end. So he needed that in the worst way. That dude got so drunk yesterday. I know he called in. He said, man, y'all run practice today. I ain't going to make it. Because I know he got hammered drunk when Buddy committed to Ohio State. Because he had to have that for his job. So those are the two things I love. But, man, I'm here for Reggie Bush versus the NCAA. I don't even want them to settle. I want that shit to be on Nightline so we can talk about it.
Yeah, come on. I agree with you, man. All the Neil money that's been thrown around, man. Give Reggie Bush the stuff back, man. It's ridiculous. Yeah, give him your 2005 Heisman Trophy back, man. That's the foolishness, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we got women college basketball players making over $1 million a year from Neil money now. It's like unbelievable.
Right.
So there's no telling what some of the college football players and the college basketball players are making. You got women college basketball players making more than you make in WNBA right now from Neil money.
That's crazy.
All right, Rob,
you ready
to get off that subject before you get some people start emailing and texting you talking about this women stuff. You ready to go to your topic?
Oh, man. I'm going to go to Caleb Williams in USC. I mean, can he be back-to-back Heisman winners? I mean, I know it's going to be tough. There's going to be a lot of competitors out there. I look at USC's schedule today. I look at a 10-2 schedule, and I look at them losing at Notre Dame, and I look at them losing at Oregon. I still, even though they're going to lose on the, I'm predicting them to lose on the road at Oregon, I still think they're probably going to be the best team in the Pac-12. They had to improve their defense. They went out and hit the transfer portal, and they recruited more defensive players, and they went out and got a lot of players from the transfer portal. They got some more weapons at the wide receiver position in the transfer portal. But I think it's going to be tougher than to go on the road and beat Notre Dame and beat Oregon on the road. They got Washington at home, so I think they could beat Washington. So I look at them being a 10-2 team, possible Pac-12 champion. It's kind of where I see them as far as this season goes. Other than that, I think we kind of covered most of the. I think we've covered the SEC, a lot of their impact players and things of that nature. Y'all know how I feel about the top college football teams of all time. I know I want to go with the 2019 LSU team, team that beat 7 top 10 teams in one season. You just never seen that a college football team do that. So I guess I'll stop there.
I said, you already knew who he was going to say when he put that topic on the list.
Yeah, he was already talking about LSU the whole time. What you got, Nye?
Oh, well, you know, I'm going to Jim Harden, man. Shout out to the great Jim Harden. That man, Jim Harden, who is on the decline of his career, the back nine of his career, is not what he used to be. But that man fights for value at every turn. Dude, when this is over, Jim Harden might have made close to $1 billion. And I don't mean far away close. I mean really, really close to $1 billion. Shout out to Jim Harden. He did the under-the-table deal to help the team get some more players. He was promised a long-term deal on top of that. Then they saw him play and decided that he was in decline and didn't want to give him that long-term deal, as he should, being Daryl Morey. And Harden, of course, is taking the right position of saying, I'm going to make this so messy, you're going to have to get me up out of here, which is Harden's typical move. Problem is, he's not the player he used to be, so the market's not the same. So I got to watch how the magician, Jim Harden, figures out a way to not only get out of Philly, but to get another check on the back end of his career while clearly in decline. Like, dude, Jim Harden, man, superhero, man. Shout out to that dude. But, yeah, I don't know if he can pull off a miracle this time. And when it comes down to it, I blame Kyrie Irving. If Kyrie had just got the shot, we'd have that Brooklyn monster rolling, and we'd be judging him, KD, and Kyrie on whether, you know, they're getting chips or not. But instead, Kyrie tanked that process, and Jim Harden been running on the road ever since, man. From suitcase to suitcase, strip club to hotel. Shout out to the great Jim Harden.
Man, yeah, when you get your jersey retired to strip club, yes, sir, you're on another level.
We're not going to comment on that.
I think the Sixers still have all the leverage here because he's in the last year of his contract. And if he wants another big contract, he's got to have a big year, right? I don't think he can go in there overweight and not play well and only average 12 points a game and average 7 or 8 turnovers and turn the tank this season and expect to get another contract from the team. And so, I mean, the Sixers kind of have the leverage. I mean, he's probably not going to re-sign with the Sixers. But if he wants another big deal, he's going to have to come out and ball out this season. So, I think to some extent the Sixers have the leverage. I mean, shucks, what did James Harden think the Clippers can trade for him with? Kawhi Leonard had been healthy in 18 years. Paul George had been healthy in 10 years. I mean, what did he think the Clippers were going to send to him? I mean, come on, man, you got to be realistic here. It's crazy.
You got to remember, you got the negotiating ability of a Section 8 mama. Make it enough. That's how Harden operates, man.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show.
Oh, hey, my God.
Thank you all for tuning in. It seems like Wednesday night is our new night. So look for us on next week at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Philadelphia, we want to hear from y'all next week on how do you feel about the James Harden saga and also your Philadelphia Eagles and your Philadelphia Phillies battling for the NL wild card. So we want to hear from y'all. Make sure you send us some fresh cheesesteaks, too. We can use one on the show next week. So make sure you tune in 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Philly. Central Time Zone, Chicago, Justin Fields, Cubs making a run, 10 p.m. Central Time, Mountain Time Zone, 9 p.m. And out west, the total demise of the Pac-12. We got to hear from y'all on the West Coast. It looked like it may be going down to the Pac-2. Because it looked like Sam from the Cal maybe getting in the ACC, so it may be going down to the Pac-2. We got to hear from y'all on the West Coast, Seattle, Portland, Corvallis, Oregon, JQ's favorite city, Fresno, L.A., 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I want to hear from y'all next week. Good night, people.
Man, he said that she got the bargaining prowess of a Section 8 mama, man. I am done with this conversation for the night. Good night, people. I can't do nothing to top that shit. Oh, my goodness. That is fantastic.
James Harden may trade some strippers to the Clippers. That's how he's going to pull that trade off. And then, hey, I'm going to trade you candy.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to trade you sunshine. I'm going to trade you, a couple of them, So that's how that trade is going to go down, man.
I mean,
he could have opted out of the contract. But he realized no other team was going to give him $36 million this year, so he opted into the contract. He could have opted out of that contract. But then again, though, if a team promised him something, though, that's something different. So I know the NBA is investigating that. So, we'll see what happens, what comes out of that. But hey, can James Harden prove that they promised him something, right? That's going to be the next thing.
That's why he's a liar. Did he get that right?
That rumor that he was going back to Houston that all of a sudden appeared all over the media last year, I feel like that was a James Harden camp planted story, and Houston never had any interest. Like, this dude goes hard, man. Like, got to give it up to him. And the NBAPA is going to have to fight for that fine, try to lower that fine.
I don't understand why he wanted to go to Clippers and Paul George and Kawhi Leonard can't stay healthy. And Russell,
I mean, he had a retractable shoulder blade. Listen, I hate Bernard. I should not. I forgot.
A retractable shoulder blade.
I forgot.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
He just want to get out there and speak game to Steve Ballmer, convince him to invest some more money because he already bought Inglewood. Like, that's the time he's running, man. Like, dude, I'm just amazed at Harden at this point, dude, because he's clearly not who he was, the greatest loophole lawyer basketball player of all time, where him and Daryl Morey, like, figured out, hey, man, we can get this cracking, go in here and attack every loophole, get all these fouls, get to the free throw line. And statistically, he's in the realm of Mike, Kobe, and all those guys. But I think all of us, from eye test, like, we know he's a Hall of Famer, but he's not that kind of Hall of Famer.
No. And he's yet to do it in the playoffs, too. So, and that's where you get your notoriety. That's where you get your big fame. He's yet to come up big in the playoff series when it counted most. But you can also say that about Joel Embiid. I mean, he hasn't really shown up. And Joel Embiid has got to figure out a way to stay healthy to have a big impact in the playoffs. And I think one of you guys made a good point. It may have been Naj, where the Denver Nuggets rested Jokic at the end of the season. But yet Embiid was trying to break scoring records at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Embiid is another one, He's going to be M-bum until you prove me wrong in the playoffs.
Damn.
Thirsty MVP, right, ran his body into the ground because he won that MVP so bad. And let's be real. Like, I know this is going to be unpopular, but I'm saying it. Should the Sixers move on from Embiid and start the rebuild around Maxey?
Not yet.
I think it's legit because, I mean, dude, y'all not winning the chip with that. Tobias Harris, come on, man.
No, that's
my question. You don't keep my name out of your mouth. Tobias, I'm tired of hearing people talk about him. keep my name out of your mouth.
But I think they got to give Joel Embiid at least another year. I think they got to figure out a way to keep his health being performing in the playoffs. I mean, that'll be Nick Nurse's job this year. I think Tyrese Maxey is definitely has the potential to be an elite player in this league. But they got to figure out a way to get the best out of Joel Embiid in the playoffs. And so we'll have to see if Nick Nurse can make that happen. Doc Rivers and his hoarse voice is going to broadcasting this year. So
what? So he's talking about
setting up his next bag.
All right, man. I came with y'all. I'm going to bed.
Jay, all right, gentlemen. Have a good rest of the week, man. He's going to bed.
Wait, I said, Jay, what you said?
Good night.
Good night, fellas.
All right, sure.
see you guys next week. You know that's true. That's the truth, man. You know
I like that Hank Aaron
jersey,
man. I got to give me one of them.
Yeah, yes, sir, man. That's it. I try to get, like, you know, the classic, you know, even though the Kuna jersey looks kind of good, I may have to get that one, man, the red one. So, you know.
And
gotta
man,
wear my
he
guys,
was slapped by Hank Aaron back in those days where that man wasn't wearing batting gloves, barely had pine tar. That man probably had the roughest hand outside of Alabama back. Boy, shout out to the great Hank Aaron.
Yep,
that's
yep,
why they didn't
absolutely
fight back then. You know that, right? There was no running out after. They weren't fighting like then back in those days, man. There wasn't charging down back then. Because you know, you about to get that half of me, man. Like, nope, I ain't doing that. I'm going to stay right here. I can make all kinds of threats to you, but I ain't charging them.
Run up on Bob Gibson if you want to.
Yeah, that ain't happening. So, all right, gentlemen. Hey, Naj, man, we'll see you next week. We appreciate you checking in for sure, man. We appreciate your insight.
Always good talking to y'all, man.
Bro.
I'll let y'all make
all right, Rob, thanks for the topics. Yeah, have a good one, Rob. Be good. Thanks, Naj. Peace.